This podcast is brought to you by Men's Tee Clinic. Men's Tee Clinic is the team I trust with my total wellness optimization, and so should you. Five DFW locations with North Frisco, El Dorado Parkway at Dallas North Tollway now open. Call 972-GO-MEN'S-TEE or visit menstclinic.com.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Third and five. They got to get to the 15-yard line. Snap is back. Blitz again. Deep fade left side. Gallup caught it. Backs in. Touchdown. And Gallup is down.
And unfortunately, we can probably get follow-up from Stephen Jones. Gallup is out. Jerry said that because of an ACL injury that they fear is an ACL tear, he will be out for the rest of the season. And obviously, I know people speculating that will be the end of his Cowboys career. I thought Amari Cooper had a really nice thing to say about Michael Gallup. He goes, yeah, and it happened before he even caught the ball. He goes, that just shows you how tough and how much focus he has, which was really cool.
Yeah, it was interesting because you hate seeing that, obviously making a great play, but it didn't look that bad on replay. So when they showed it and he's grabbing his knee and I'm like, this doesn't look good the way he's reacting.
Yeah.
But you watch the replay and you're like, yeah, did it buckle a hair? But it wasn't, you know, you've seen such, like when you think of the Greek Freak, remember that one? And they're like, no, he's okay. And you're like, how is the Greek Freak okay? It looked like his knee went the wrong way. Yet this one, you're
like nothing.
There was a little jiggle there, but nothing that bad. And so you're just like, son of a gun. But you could tell his reaction was really
bad. He said
bad.
He felt it pop per Amari. And Amari is on Thursday's G-Bag. But Amari said that Gallup told him he felt it pop before he caught the ball. And he's tough enough to still go up and make the play. And he knew he was hurt. I cannot even imagine the mental state of, I think I just felt my knee pop. I could be done, but I still need to score.
Yeah. The part of I still need to score, I had never felt that. But I did feel my knee pop at a place where I was like, oh, crap. Like, that's not supposed to do that. It's pretty terrifying at the moment. But I think he knew. You know, I think he knew at that point. He was like, okay, I know exactly what's going on. I hate this because you're watching a receiver that we were like, oh, man, he's coming back into form of what he can and should be. And then you see him go off. I like, though, that the other guys were able to, you know, pick up the slack. Cedric Wilson was able to pick up the slack and do his job the way that he did and step right in because he feels comfortable with Dak in this offense.
Well, I mean, we can continue this conversation because right now, brought to you by Ford, built for Texas, built for you. It is Dallas Cowboys Executive Vice President Stephen Jones. Good afternoon, sir.
Good afternoon, guys.
Man, we were just having the conversation about the immense and amazing focus it takes by Michael Gallup to know in midair he might be hurt and still come down with the touchdown pass. How impressive was that play? And then how tough is it to lose him for the rest of the year?
Well, first of all, Michael's just a first-class guy. First and foremost off the field, but on the field, what a great competitor. Doesn't surprise me a bit he made the play. I mean, that's just him. And, you know, he's got a great positive attitude. I mean, obviously, that's a very difficult blow. I know he was looking forward to, you know, what free agency was going to bring. And hopefully right here in Dallas, we know we have our challenges here. But no one thinks more of Michael Gallup than the Dallas Cowboys, than his teammates, than his coaching staff, the organization. As I said, just a class act all the way, and doesn't surprise me a bit. He was able to make that great play, but he'll come back, and he'll come back strong and better than ever, and ultimately Michael will get his.
Does that kind of change y'all's approach or maybe the way y'all look at what he could be for you in the future in free agency?
Not at all. I mean, we'll just go to work with him and see. I mean, as we said, we've obviously got some challenges that we'll address in the off season. Our focus right now is on beating the Philadelphia Eagles, and certainly it was a very difficult day for us yesterday. magnified by the loss of Gallup. But, you know, we went up against a tough team that was backed into a corner, and they were, you know, trying to fight their way out of it. Hats off to them. I mean, Kyler Murray's an amazing athlete, amazing competitor, amazing quarterback in terms of, you know, how he competes. And he seems to bring it to a higher level when he comes to AT&T Stadium, starting all the way back, going back to high school. But hats off to the Cardinals. They had a they played great defensively. They made plays when they had to offensively. They protected the ball, and we weren't able to get the job done. So we've got work to do. We've got things obvious that, you know, everybody's going to talk about in terms of, you know, we've got to execute better going forward, and we'll all see how important the ball is. I mean, we just didn't get the turnovers like we have been getting. They got one, and they got a big play on special teams, and, you know, those can be the differences on winning and losing a football game. So we understand that, and we've got to get to work.
Steven, it seemed like the theme after the game from the players and Coach McCarthy was the refs didn't help out the Cowboys. In fact, they hurt the Cowboys. Can you talk about how you felt the refs called the game?
Yeah, I'm not concerned about the officials. Every team deals with officials. They have good games. You know, they have games where they, you know, probably feel like things went their way. They have games where they feel like they don't go their way. And that's just, you know, part of competitive sports. And so we've got to get to work and take care of the things that we can take care of. And I know we'll do that. I know Coach McCarthy will get staff together. I know we're hard at it already, and get ready to go and get ready to play the Eagles and get the momentum back as we get ready to go into the playoffs. We feel good about our football team. Obviously the Gallup injury is a tough one, but other than that, we're for the most part a healthy football team, and you know, we've got it all out here in front of us, including the home playoff game to start the playoffs. And but we've really got to focus on the Eagles right now. Obviously got some work that we need to do in terms of our execution and how we you know, how we can execute during a football game and win those close football games. And done a good job of winning a bunch of them this year, but obviously that was a very difficult one for us yesterday.
Now, speaking about that offensive execution, I was curious, and you've mentioned beating the Eagles a couple of different times. Do you anticipate not going after this game full bore? Like, there's been discussion about sitting players out. McCarthy said yesterday that discussion would take place today. Dak has said he's playing. It is unlikely, though not impossible, y'all could move off the number four seed. Do you anticipate any changes in the game plan for the Eagles?
Not at this point, no. I feel like we'll be full bore, ready to go. We play on a Saturday night now. Certainly some things can happen where things could go our way. So we're going to, and plus, not to mention the fact we need the momentum and, you know, we need to go out and work on our execution. And know we'll do that. Know we'll have a great week of practice as we continue to prepare. And, you know, this will be a big football game for us. The Eagles are playing really well right now. They're locked in. My understanding is they're locked into the playoffs. So,
yep.
Got a lot of work to do, and we're going to focus on the Eagles.
So, Steven, I liked your answer on the referees, but the players did talk a lot about it. Does it concern you at all that your players are bitching about the referees? Because just as a former player, if I'm bitching about the umpires, then I'm not worried about how I can become better.
No, I mean, that, you know, got players, you know, at times you're frustrated right after the heat of the battle, but I know our guys will focus on the right things, which is how we get better as a football team and what we have to do to win football games. And I don't think it starts with the officials in any way. That's out of our control, and we've got to go out and execute and play tough Dallas Cowboys football like we have most of the year. Get back to turning the ball over, which our defense has just done an outstanding job of this year, and, you know, inserting energy into the game at different points. And unfortunately, we didn't get that yesterday. At the same time, we've got to go out. We've got to execute better as an offense, and we've got to play better on special teams. Obviously, the Cardinals made a big play on special teams against us, and we weren't able to come up with the plays to answer that. So we've just we've got to get back to work and control the things that we can control.
What do you think is the biggest problem right now, Steven, with the running game specifically? Is Is it because there's no rhythm to it? Is there something else going on behind the scenes there? What's the biggest problem with being able to run the ball effectively right now?
You know, I'm not going to be able to put my hands on it right now. Certainly, I know we've got a great coaching staff. Coach Phil been leading up the offensive line group. Obviously, Kellen and Mike are going to give it another good going over. We ran the ball better the week before. But you got to take your hat off to the Cardinals. They came in and played well against the run and against us. And we've just got to execute. I think it comes down to execution. Comes down to these guys playing as Tyron's first game back. He's got to continue to improve. Obviously, a great football player for us, a Pro Bowl player for us this year. No question in my mind, he's going to just keep getting better with each week. So we've just got to go execute. I think we will.
Now, can you tell us any more about, and you were just kind of addressing it with the Tyron comments, I would love to know more from your perspective, from the team perspective, what does better execution look like on the offensive line?
I think it's working as a group. You know, everybody talks about an offensive line group, and, you know, it's really the first time the original five were able to start for one reason or another, and all be together as one group. And I think that's important in terms of execution and working together and, getting used to the guy on your right, the guy on your left, and how you're going to communicate. I think all those things are important and certainly an area we can improve on in terms of executing as a unit.
When it comes to – I wanted to kind of get a feel for how you thought the Cardinals played yesterday, because I didn't think it was a great game on their part, but, man, Kyler Murray sometimes makes some pretty special plays, especially whenever it was necessary. What did you take away from what they gave the Cowboys defense yesterday?
Well, I thought our defense, for the most part, did play well, and that's why Kyler Murray is Kyler Murray. He made plays, key plays that most quarterbacks can't make when he needed to on third downs, on keeping that drive alive. He was a key part of the whole drive. There at the end of the game when we were needing to get him out so we could get the ball back and go down and have an opportunity either to win or tie the game, he was making plays. And, you know, other than, him making some really unique runs as a quarterback and a couple of, a speed sweep for a big play, I thought we stopped the run well yesterday. You got to give Kyler credit. He took some shots and really made some really spot-on throws, when he had one-on-one coverage to the outside and, hit some shots. So, but overall, I thought our defense played well other than we just missed our signature for this year, which is, turning the ball over. And we've just got to continue to stress that, which I know Dan will with this unit. You got to take your hat off to Kyler for not putting the ball in harm's way. They protected it well. And we just got to continue to work on that, and I think we will as a team.
Dak ran the ball more yesterday. How did you feel about Dak running and how he looked running?
I thought he looked good, and I think as you go down the home stretch, obviously these games, it becomes really important to win these things. And obviously he did it a little more. You hold your breath because every time you do it, you're putting yourself in what could be a tough situation. Obviously, Kyler missed some games this year because he uses his feet to make plays. But certainly you're going to see, I think, a lot of these quarterbacks who have the ability to do so use their feet to make plays when it's win or go home once you get into playoff football. And certainly we're fortunate that Dak can make those plays. At the same time, I think Dak's learned a lot of when to get down. Certainly you can see Kyler Murray's good at it as well. He uses that baseball background to slide and get down quick. And I think all these guys understand that they can't, take multiple licks during the course of a game. It takes its toll. So at the same time, I think these teams that have quarterbacks that can move, you'll see more of it because everything's on the line as you move into the tournament and playoff football.
Talk with Stephen Jones right here on 105 Through the Fan. Now, you usually give us great insight not only to Cowboys things, but the NFL as well. I was kind of curious your thoughts about the team's game against the Eagles moving to Saturday. And do you think that's by any chance an indication that maybe the Cowboys will be in a Saturday slot for the wild card round as well?
You know, that's just tough for me to project. Don't have any clue as to how that would work. Certainly, I think they probably put us in that Saturday slot knowing the game would be meaningful in terms of seedings. You know, with some things still not locked in, that makes for good viewership. And we're comfortable with playing the game on Saturday. I've talked to Mike about it. He's ready to go. He was actually fired up that our game did get moved to Saturday. So we'll go out there and focus on the Eagles, get to work, and hopefully do what we need to do to take care of business there. But they'll be a big challenge. They're playing some of the best football in the NFL right now. So that'll be a big challenge, especially up there in Philly.
Steven, last question. Have you ever had a New Year's resolution you stuck to for a whole year?
I don't think so. I've started off good on a bunch of them, but I don't know if I've made the whole year.
What's the one that you stuck with the longest?
Oh, it was probably a little diet I was on a couple years ago, and I'm going to try to do it again this year.
There we go.
I stuck through here.
What's the food that crushes your diet?
it'd take a tablet full to list all the food that I love that's not good for you. Pizza to burgers and right on down the line.
Well, that's yet another reason to win the Super Bowl, because then nobody cares about a diet. Yeah, absolutely. Thank you very much, good sir. Appreciate talking with you every Monday.
Hey, great talking to you guys. Happy New Year.
Steven Jones, Happy New Year to you as well right here on 105 Through the Fan. Now, I was kind of curious, and I was hoping he might tip us off if the Cowboys are going to play in that Saturday night window for the wild card. But I also wanted to shout out Todd Archer for this. I think this is really interesting. Cowboys fans will want to know this. We'll reset with them later in the show as well. The non-NFC East schedule is now set. Is your home games next year would be against Chicago, Detroit.
Win.
Houston, win. Indianapolis, Tampa. Well, I mean, I just saw that Indianapolis game. Tampa and Cincinnati.
Oh, no.
And your road schedule would be against Green Bay, lost. Minnesota, Jacksonville, Tennessee, and whoever wins the NFC West, Arizona or the Rams. So there's kind of a snapshot. I know the NFL, a lot can change.
I'm really mad that I didn't ask Steven.
So you want us to predict the win?
No, I do not.
I'm really mad I didn't ask him about Mickey's suggestion that they use a horn or a vibrating device for delay games.
So glad.
But
that
also,
you did not.
I've just been informed that KP has gone into health and safety protocol. So cool.
Huh. All right.
Exciting news, huh?
So we're not quite done with that with the Mavericks just yet. We're the KNC masterpiece right here on 105 Through the Fan. Steven just kind of alluded to it playing as a group, but let's be constructive on this. How can the Cowboys offensive line get or play better? 877-881-1053. We'll do it next right here in the Fan.
Snap in the gun. Prescott has time, looks around, takes off running left. 20, 15, 10, looking for the line, didn't get it. Stopped at the 10-yard line, a yard short of the first down.
KNC masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan. Constructive. How can the Cowboys' offensive line play better, get better?
Dak.
Did you just say Dak?
Yeah.
Okay.
I think a lot of it is on Dak.
Okay.
Not all of it. Yes, the offensive line is inconsistent. I thought Tyron Smith, me personally, I didn't think he played a very good game. And yeah. I know this is, it's not like you get beat 20 times, but if you get beat 4 or 5 times, that's a bad game. And that's a tough standard as an offensive tackle, especially to live up to. But that was the case. I thought Chandler Jones got him enough times for me to go, gosh, was Tyron Smith ready to play? As was he physically ready to play, you know, back from the injured list? But I would say Dak doesn't throw the ball until somebody's open. And when you watch Kansas City and Cincinnati, the game before, which was just such a fun game to watch, I was like, God, Burrow and Mahomes throw the ball so many times when they're showing the backdrop of it and Romo's breaking it down. Guys aren't open.
Yeah.
Yet they're throwing it to somebody who's not open because eventually they become open. when you watch Dak, for the most part, Dak will not release the ball until he sees the guy becoming open. Well, now that means the offensive line here in Dallas, they have to block until somebody gets open, because Dak will not throw the ball until the person gets open. Now, I'm not saying this is all on Dak. I don't want – this is not a all or nothing type of opinion here. This is Dak can help out the offensive line if he would just throw the damn football at times.
Okay. I absolutely think that is constructive. Steven talked about playing more as a unit, and then he made reference to Tyron being back for his first game, which I think is kind of like a, hey, also don't forget that.
Yeah, no, let's let him get back into a groove. Let's let guys play together. That's what Mike McCarthy's been talking about all year, is the best offensive lines. He's been saying it since last year. The best offensive lines are the ones that play together a lot.
Yeah.
Because they know, you know, with a little hand signal here, with a little touch here, they know what they're supposed to be doing. And sometimes those communications get lost whenever it comes to, well, we didn't have that guy out there for this game or these three games. I'll be honest. Stop asking your tight end to block one of the best pass rushers in the league.
So, and
that's
that,
something that frustrates
particularly
me.
That
yeah.
one.
I think that's yeah. I think that's a great point, because there was multiple times, especially like in that first quarter, that I was like, man, thank goodness we have Dalton Schultz. And then there was a couple of times, and I did think about that. I was like, I mean, he is bad at blocking, but also, why is this the decision that
right.
we went with?
Yeah, and it's not like any of your tight ends are particularly good at blocking anyway.
Sure.
You know, so like, except for maybe Sprinkle.
Yeah, not thinking Blake Jarwin, if he came back, would be the guy.
Yeah, but and I know like the tight end is becoming more of a downfield weapon or a receiving weapon than it is just considered a blocker that, you know, you keep in and everything. And, hey, if I'm going to block, I might as well go with McGovern. Just throw that other guy out there. But I don't want to see Dalton Schultz out there trying to block Chandler Jones. That's yeah. not my favorite thing to see. This isn't me trying to kill Dalton Schultz, though. This yeah. is just a whenever – and I also know you're trying to line up different things, give different looks, and you're, that way your opponent has to, you know, think about different things. I get that part. But that was ineffective. When it comes to the scheme, the plan, like, there are some really beautiful moments, man, from this offensive line. There are some really pretty moments where you're like, wow, they just did exactly what you're supposed to do when it comes to running the football. But they're not doing it as effectively as we would like them to do. And I don't know exactly, Kevin, I don't know exactly how to fix that part of it. So I can't constructively fix it, because when it's one guy has a hold here, one guy has a hold here, like, I can't coach those things. What do I tell him to do differently that he's doing right now? That you got caught this time, and it affected us on three different drives, that somebody on a different player got caught three different times. That's a tough one to fight.
Yeah, no, absolutely. And then the other one that I thought about as well was with all of the block passes at the line of scrimmage, and you had five passes deflected at the line of scrimmage and those four holding penalties that we were referencing. And I was like, man, that is like the deflected passes is a really bad indication that you're not winning at the line of scrimmage. And I keep trying to wrap my mind around it, is because I get it. Like, we talked about Dalton Schultz or whether moving in Connor McGovern, but you have the five players, and one of them we think is still great. The other one they keep referencing is, oh, Tyron Smith is going to the Pro Bowl. And you're like, okay, well, so like two of the five are supposed to be great, and we feel better about Lyle Collins than we did about Terrence Steele. We feel better about Connor Williams than we did Connor McGovern. And I'm like, how is it falling apart? Because to the way you started it, I do think there are times where Dak gets jumpy and has to move through a closing pocket before he moves through a closing pocket before he really needs to. But it's not just Dak that's a problem with this. It is definitely, to an extent, the offensive line. And I keep watching back and I'm like, why are we having so many problems?
It's a good question, and obviously if it doesn't get fixed, you're going to get bounced in the first or second round.
Yeah.
And I look at it, and I go, well, quarterbacks, I disagree with Choppy on a lot of things he says, okay? I love Choppy, but I disagree with a lot of things he says. But I do agree with him. It was rare that Tom Brady and Peyton Manning had bad offensive lines. Now, that can't be the case. When you play 20 years in the NFL, or almost 20 for Peyton Manning.
Oh, yeah.
And Brady has played 20 years. You can't always have good offensive lines. And at times, their offensive lines did let them down. But at times, they protect their offensive lines because they're getting rid of the ball quick. And they're seeing that it's breaking down. I'm just going to throw it away. Let me ask you this. How many times yesterday did Dak throw the ball away because pressure was getting there and he said, you know what, screw it. And I know he only took one sack, but let me just get rid of it and next play. When I watch Aaron Rodgers, when I watch Tom Brady, when I watch Peyton Manning, when I watch Patrick Mahomes, a little bit different because he's such a young guy, and I guess maybe Dak fits into this too, that he'll like, I'm going to extend the play. The way Aaron Rodgers wanted to extend plays more when he was younger than he does at this point in his career. I'm like, you know what? There's a time to throw the ball away and say, it's not going to work. This play's not working. We're not blocking well enough. My guys aren't getting open well enough. I don't see the coverage I like. But I'll just give you this. I was talking to Broadus already today. And he says, Dak has been figured out in the NFL. And he's saying that teams know that he does not read defenses quickly.
Yeah.
If you make him read the defense and not give him kind of that just one look type of throw, type of situation, he has to hold the ball because he has to see somebody open. And so because teams are making him read the play a little bit longer because he's not seeing his first read open quick enough, it's making him indecisive, hold it, and then we're seeing for 2 months now pretty much an offense that I never thought this offense would look this way, but now this is what it is. I was shocked by the Washington game, how great it looked. And then we went right back to the way we've looked.
So there's a couple of things there that they need to try to figure out then, is because if that's the case on the Dak front, like, that's not going to change, is you're not bailing out of that situation. Yeah. And so then, fair or unfair, doesn't that mean even more pressure goes on the offensive line to give him that extra 0.4, 0.8, like whatever the amount of seconds necessary to make that next read or for that next receiver to get open, because you're not moving off of Dak.
He's here for the next 5 years at least.
Exactly. And so I think that ups the pressure on the offensive line, or it ups the pressure on the offensive coordinator to find more inventive ways of, when people
like the Michael Gallup touchdown, was that a good pass, or was that just throwing it up and letting Michael Gallup make a play in the air? Because I felt like he threw it up and Michael Gallup made a play. Now, my point being is this. Were those good throws by Joe Burrow to Ja'Marr Chase down the sideline if you watch that game? Or was that just, I'm throwing it up, it's one-on-one, and I'm trusting Ja'Marr Chase to make a play, and we'd never do that with CeeDee Lamb.
Yeah, and Joe Burrow literally said that for Ja'Marr Chase. He goes, you've seen the meme. F it. Chase is down there. I'm just going to throw it up.
And we don't do it with Amari Cooper
Hopkins,
either.
Right? That was Kyler Murray on Hopkins.
I know there. Bobby Belt's coming up here soon, but I was listening to Bobby talk with Sean and RJ, and one of our better deep threats is Amari Cooper, but we never really run him deep, and we never just lob it to him and say, it's one-on-one. Go catch
Especially in the pass interference league. Like, I'm not saying you want to cater your offense to getting a flag, but, like, one of the reasons...
Well, hold on. We can think about this. The all-PI offense?
It's great. I was going to say,
I
don't want to go that direction.
I'll take it.
But let's face it. You're obviously infinitely more likely to get that pass interference call if you're chucking it downfield than if you're never trying to stretch the field. That's one of the reasons the Cowboys run into that, whether it's you don't turn your head around or the longer you have to cover, the longer the ref's going to pick off something.
You know, one of the reasons that Tony had a really good career in the NFL was because he had great anticipation. And, like, he knew, all right, the runner guy's running this route, he's going to this direction, I'm going to throw it to where he's going to be. And that's been kind of frustrating because Dak has moments in games where it's like, okay, I got it. My timing is there. I'm going to deliver on time to this dude. And it seems like he's kind of – there were a couple of times, maybe not last season, the season before, where it felt like he was just throwing to a spot rather than throwing to where his receiver should be. He was throwing to – a receiver that just got open, and that's too late. You can't throw to a receiver that just got open. You have to throw to a receiver and hope he'll be open or anticipate that he's going to beat his defender on that. And it seems that's just kind of some of the things that I was observing, was it didn't feel like he was, you know, getting his receiver open on his throws. And that's something that I don't love so much. I also, how much does getting your ball swatted every time you throw it like really affect your mental game?
And that's another element.
They were just so good at it against Dak yesterday.
That's another element where the offensive line has to get better. Like, I know the argument would be you have to throw the ball higher is theoretically, but also I think that means you're losing a little push at the line of scrimmage, and the push is either equal or starts to go forward. Then it gives you that extra little fractional bit, which is usually what we're talking about in these instances.
Like, isn't that what J.J. Watt was so well known for? And yet he wasn't on the field yesterday. But his entire all of his teammates are doing what J.J. Watt has done so well his entire career.
And it is frustrating, especially when they were trying to do the fastball offense, is if you see it get swatted down, or if you see that penetration where they knew what the route was going to be.
And I know we're out of time, but I feel like the passing protection can improve. I don't think the run blocking can improve.
So you think
I know you want to be constructive. Say, Mike, be constructive. Yeah, but I'm like, no. I don't know how to be constructive on this.
That's totally fair. No, and that's why I said, if you don't think that, like, as long as we weren't like, oh, they suck, you know, but like, if you legitimately don't think the run blocking can get better,
especially inside,
then that's an issue, right?
I don't know. Like, I guess just running to the outside would help, but running inside, I don't trust that we're not going to hold when there's a 10 or 12 yard run that we're not going to go back 10 yards because. Yeah. Eventually, when he gets tackled, you're like, well, it didn't count anyways.
Man, I'll just do this. More trick plays. Let's just run more. Like, they're always successful. They're always wide open. Look, they don't get the touchdowns, but they do pick up yards. Let's just do more trick plays.
I feel like you're kidding, but I would not hate
you
more
always
trick
want
plays.
The flea flicker. You're like flea flicker every possession.
Because I choose to only remember the good ones. Like, you don't talk about and remember that double reverse that blew up and lost you 7 yards. And you're like, well, that was stupid.
Why do we do
now
that?
Now this
one?
Drive is over. I remember Cedric Wilson tossing the ball and being like, yes.
Hey, we got a game there.
Let's do that more. We're the KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan. Coming up next, how an easy path to the number 2 seed fell apart for the Cowboys in 4 hours. Talk about it next right here on The Fan.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.
KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan. In the span of 4 hours, things fell apart for the Cowboys. Like, everything was looking so good. Is you're getting to the end of the noon window. And for a good chunk of the game, the Ravens were beating the Rams. For a good chunk of the game, the Jets were beating the Bucs. And it looked like you were going to start your game with Tampa at 11-5, with the Rams at 11-5, knowing that you win this game and you have clear path for the number 2 seed. You don't have to worry about this person. And then I want to know y'all's thought process on this. Cut 33 right here is then the Rams were victorious.
Empty shotgun set. 3 to his right, 2 to his left. He brings Cooper Kupp in motion. Takes the snap. Rolls right. Pitches. Throws. Caught. Front pylon.
Touchdown.
OBJ. Touchdown. Touchdown. Touchdown, LA!
It's because you got to the point where you needed them to win when Tampa was going to win. So, like, both the Rams and Tampa looked like they were going to lose.
That wasn't Josh Lewin, was it?
Was it?
No, because he does Chargers games.
Yeah, okay. I was like, wait, he does Chargers games, but I swear at the end, I was like, that kind of sounded
play
like
it again.
A Josh.
Hold on, I'll play it again.
One more time.
Hear it.
Empty shotgun set. Three to his right, two to his left. He brings Cooper Kupp in motion. Takes the snap. Rolls right. Hitches. Throws. Caught. Front pylon.
Touchdown.
OBJ. Touchdown. Touchdown. Touchdown, LA.
I can see, Mike, how you would think that that's maybe him.
It wasn't.
But that wasn't him.
So
back to you, Kevin.
No, yeah. I'm glad that you said that because the way he said touchdown, I did kind of think that. So it looked like both Tampa and LA were going to lose, and you're like, perfect. Now, if the Cowboys just win, you'll have it free and clear. You can be the number two seed. You can open up against the Eagles or whoever. You can get that second home game. And then once it was clear that Tampa was going to win, then you needed the Rams to win. Because it's this weird scenario where you had to keep the multi-team ties. So were you guys locked in and potentially stressing at the end of that noon window, or are you more focused on, hey, just Cowboys need to win?
I was definitely paying attention to the Tampa finish.
Okay,
I was thinking, my God, the Jets are going to win this game. And then you heard about the Antonio Brown thing, and I was like, did that totally throw them off? Brown throwing a fit on the sideline, and I guess after he threw the fit, then they scored the points that they really needed. Like,
Which might
have somehow brought them together as a team. I don't know.
Was it Reggie? Did you tweet out? That's leadership right there, is they were losing, and Antonio Brown threw his fit, and then they came back and won?
That's right.
Okay.
I mean, I've seen that logic applied to other players when they throw fits, so I just wanted
Absolutely.
Yeah, I think we had a long discussion about that last week, as a matter of fact, regarding Tom Brady specifically. So.
Sometimes, when Tom Brady tells another coach to go F himself or breaks a tablet, it's passion.
It's passion.
But, well, the number one seed now, the quarterback told the whole organization to go F themselves,
and
ended up having the best record in the NFC.
And everyone's
leadership,
like, he just cares so much about winning, and you're like, okay, he could just be a jerk, too. For Tampa Bay, did you see that Robert Saleh said he feels sick because he gave the wrong play call and that's why they ended up losing? The Jets were ahead.
Tankathon.
Hold on. You mean like is it a fourth and two and they go for a QB sneak?
Yeah.
And fourth and two?
He said that
he
was.
Called punt.
He said, no, they were at the +7. He did not call punt.
That'd have been tanking.
He said he blamed the coaching staff. Now, it was really clever because he said the coaching staff. He didn't say me.
Uh-huh.
But he said the coaching staff it was supposed to be a handoff to a wide receiver on an end around instead of running the quarterback sneak, which was stuff for no game. So he was like, look, we sent the wrong play in. And, I mean, the implication there is my play would have worked. But which is interesting because the implication is my play would have worked.
But he's not the offensive coordinator.
And then also didn't take the downfall for why the wrong play got in there.
Yeah.
Sometimes being an NFL coach sounds awesome.
I think, hold on now, what's their record this season, Kevin?
Ooh, do they have 3 wins now?
I think
they have 4 wins.
Yeah, so where do they stand in the tankathon at the moment?
Jets have the 4th pick right now.
Okay.
They're tied with the Giants in Houston. At 3, 4, and 5. I don't know all the tiebreakers, but Tankathon does. So Houston at 4 and 12 has the 3rd pick. Jets at 4 and 12 have the 4th pick. And Giants at 4 and 12 have the 5th pick.
So he couldn't just like say, hey, that's your masterclass in tanking.
Okay, no. Because instead, he said that they won the game. This is his actual quote.
What? Hold on. What did you just say?
He said they won the game. I'll tell you the quote. Quote. They deserve better. This is Robert Saleh. We won that game, and we've got to be better for our players. So, again,
you can't say we won that game.
This time, 59 minutes long. They won.
This time, it's not even an implication. He's telling you we would have gotten that first down. They said we won the game.
That's how soccer teams must feel. They're like, after 90 minutes, we won the game. They just added all that extra time at the end.
Ooh, that is a good point.
It was still tied after those 90 minutes. That's why they actually.
The injury time and stuff like that. By the way, speaking of soccer, did you see it's pretty much a done deal that Pepe is going to the Bundesliga like we predicted? I don't know.
Good for
months
Pepe
ago.
Getting into the major leagues.
Yeah, fair enough. Okay, so then it's already fallen apart. So it looks like the Rams were going to lose. Looks like the Bucks were going to lose. Looks like you were going to have an easy path to the number two seed. But guess what? They both still won, so as long as you still win, you'll still have the multi-team extravaganza tie. You win the tiebreak on conference record. You could still get the number two seed.
And you're still fingers crossed that Kirk Cousins could beat Aaron Rodgers that night.
Well, so. he had gotten COVID, I thought it was a good thing because I had what Mike always says in my head. It was a primetime game, so he was going to crap his pants. So I'm not happy that he got COVID, like, from a health perspective, but from a play perspective,
you're like,
I was like,
Sean Mannion can do this.
Yeah, actually, I was hoping for Kellen Mond, but I was like, so he won't crap his pants in the game.
You know, we thought COVID was going to ruin everything in, like, 2020-ish, 21-ish, yep. I guess 2020-ish more. It's really ruined things lately.
That is true.
Like, I mean, the
you
Mavericks
said that like
ruined.
You thought it was a hot take. Well, like, I'm with you, Mike.
Major players are like, no major player missed any games. The first COVID-19 didn't really ruin anything except we couldn't go to games and there was a pause on sports.
Mm-hmm.
But everybody played. We had no issues in Orlando at the bubble. We had no issues in Major League Baseball in that 60-game season.
Quick question.
We had major issues lately.
Do you think we dropped the ball when it got named COVID-19 and we didn't name that one COVID-20 mm-hmm. and then COVID-21 and now COVID-22?
I do. I agree with you on that.
Okay.
Yeah.
I mean, it's ruined some people's lives, but in the sporting world, I know what you're saying.
I know what you're saying,
but here is like it has. It really is screwing things up a lot more right now than it did this entire year. It seems like the last two months has really picked up for whatever reason.
What does it matter that players sit out? Porzingis still got it. all these guys are in health and safety protocols. Why? You're still giving it to the players that don't have it. So just let them all play.
Okay.
Let Kirk Cousins play. Who cares?
So your solution is let them play because if you're going to catch it, you're going to catch it.
You're going to catch it anyways. Yeah.
Okay.
It's not stopping Luka and Hardaway and all these guys, Trey Burke, whoever it is, right? All of them sitting out. It didn't matter. Porzingis still got it. Boban still got it. Sitting them out didn't help at all. It did not help not spreading the disease. They all still got it. So just let them play.
Were you at least happy to see Luka back on the court last night?
I was.
That was a really hesitation.
Still needs
right?
to lose 20 pounds.
Oh, my
It did
gosh.
Not take any weight off of his body.
Oh, my gosh. Because he couldn't work out and stuff because he was sick, right?
Yeah, it didn't stop him from eating.
You feed a fever, right?
Oh, God. Oh, my gosh.
Yes, man. He's too big. He needs to lose 20 pounds this offseason. We're screwed.
So.
And then guess what? Porzingis is now in health and safety protocols for 6 to 10 days.
Protocols.
And then guess what? Three other people who haven't had it somehow are going to get it. But I thought we took all those people away so nobody would get it. When they came back, they'd all be healthy and couldn't spread the disease. But we're all spreading the disease. So screw it. Let Kirk Cousins play. Let all these people play. Like, we're just screwing up sports by being like, you need to go away. Why? I gave it to all the players anyways. They're eventually going to test positive.
I'm shocked.
When has anybody ever said, let Kirk Cousins play in a happy manner?
That's a good point. And I'm honestly shocked that he didn't say, sounds like Luka was on protein calls and he's like, time to go eat some more. Like, who would have thought that my question of, were you excited to see Luka back out there would turn into,
screwed. We'll talk about it tomorrow. They played a lot slower. Or with Luka on the court. I'm not saying Luka's great, but they play a slow basketball game led by Luka.
Mm-hmm. By the way, in the world of basketball, have you seen the team that's coming in here on Sunday?
Chicago?
DeMar DeRozan is the greatest clutch player of all time.
He's crushing it, man.
We didn't want him. He can't shoot the three.
He chose to go to that team.
But also, I don't think...
We don't want DeMar DeRozan.
I thought
DeRozan.
We wanted him.
But I think he was like, hey, there's some young stars up in Chicago.
Dorian Finney-Smith couldn't shoot better than my sisters when we took him out of Florida.
Golly.
And Josh Green looks like he's never seen a ball away from 10 feet from the basket. Because when he shoots, I'm like, how the hell did you get drafted 18th overall shooting like that? That being said, Dorian Finney-Smith learned how to shoot a basketball. He's an okay shooter.
Were your sisters good shooters in basketball
not at all.
Before I made any judgments?
No. Not at all.
Okay.
But neither's Josh Green. You might as well just throw it up from half court when Josh Green takes a three-point shot. Now, maybe he'll learn how to shoot the way Dorian Finney-Smith, after 2 years into Dorian Finney-Smith's professional career, he couldn't shoot the ball worth an S. And Josh Green can't shoot worth an S either. Maybe they'll teach him how to shoot a basketball and make a shot. But I'm just, it's weird how we don't like free agents because we're like, well, they don't shoot 45% from three. But then when we draft, we're like, we don't care that they can't shoot a college three-pointer. They'll figure it out in the NBA.
Did you see the DeMar DeRozan became, I was shocked that this was the case, legitimately the first player in NBA history to hit game-winning buzzer beaters on consecutive days. Never happened in the history of basketball.
No, you'd think it would have happened at some point.
I do think it would have happened at some point.
You know who wouldn't be on health and safety protocol? Pippen. You know why?
Because they didn't have coronavirus.
Yeah, he played all the games. Pippen played all the games, guys. Health and safety protocols. It ain't helping. These protocols suck. Tell me they don't suck. They're not helping at all. Everybody's getting COVID. Oh, he got put in health and safety protocols. Why? All the players are going to get COVID now. We figured this out. Somebody got COVID on the team. Everybody's going to get it now. Mm-hmm. It just takes time for it to go through everybody.
So just give up to begin with.
Yeah,
and
just
then
be like, screw
you're ready
it.
To
you know
play
what?
Again.
You
quicker.
Guys are 19 to 35 years old and in great shape. Just keep playing basketball. If you feel bad and you don't feel like you can play, don't play. If you feel good enough to play, play basketball.
Did that make you feel better, Mike?
Or football. Or baseball. Yeah,
no baseball.
Even though nobody's gonna do it. Everybody's gonna be like, "Oh, health and safety protocols." Why? You're not stopping crap from happening.
See, these are how the questions I wish were phrased to Stephen Jones. Sometimes
shut it down.
Was that a question?
What?
I mean, you could just stop like, talking
if,
and let him.
I mean,
respond.
I know that Dak isn't playing well, but what if Dak gets COVID after the Philadelphia game?
Oh my
Who cares?
God!
Play.
Yeah, I kind of am with him on this. I don't want Dak to not be out there, even though Dak's not playing great. I trust him over Cooper at the moment.
We're the KNC Masterpiece right here on 105 Through the Fan. Coming up next, we will talk with our Dallas Cowboys insider Bobby Belt, maybe about some of that.
Let's
next,
do all of it.
Right here on the Fan.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.